Daily Renegade, what's going up? Wow, right off the bat there, start off bad, but that's okay. How's it going? My name is Seth. I'm the host for Apollineering. We're so glad to have you on today. I'm super excited for this interview. We're going to be interviewing Mark Taylor. We're going to be talking Q, Trump, the future of America, different prophecies that Mark has come up, that the Holy Spirit has spoken through Mark. And then we're probably going to end up discussing his book at some point, because how can you not with everything that's going on? And so, but before we get started into that, I want to talk about the Daily Renegade. And at the Daily Renegade, we are exploding like crazy. We just signed on 2 more shows, which bringing us up to 14 shows in total. And so, we have opportunities for exclusive membership deals for $9.95 a month or $95 a year. And we're only increasing the amount of shows that we're bringing in. The content is incredible. I mean, we got everything from news shows to interview shows to conspiracy shows to everything that you guys want. We have it for you guys. So make sure that you guys check out the Daily Renegade. If you're already a member, thank you so much for contributing to this ministry. We're trying to get the truth out in these crazy times when the mainstream media is just downplaying the truth, when fact is hard to find, when you have to almost go to the dark web just to see what's really going on. It makes these types of ministries really good because we can get that information out to you guys without you having to do any research. You just have to come and listen to us. So make sure that you guys check out becoming a member, because although this ministry, it takes money to run a ministry. And so we need support from you guys, even your prayers, just your prayers for protection from the enemy, from protection from whoever wants to come in and stop us and stop the gospel of Jesus Christ from spreading across the earth. They're going to attack us. And so I really appreciate you guys turning in today and listening to this. And I know Mark's got some great things to say. So with all that being said, Mark, how's it going today, man?
Oh, it's going pretty well. Right now it's going a little rough because we're staring down the barrel of a hurricane right now here in Florida. But thank you for having me on your show, brother. It's an honor to be here. And any friend of Josh Peck's a friend of mine, man, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, and I can't wait for this discussion. What I do with my first-time guests, and I want to hear this from you, I know you've kind of explained it other places, but I think for our audience who may have not seen you before, it'd be a good starting point, is I like to have guests share their testimony on how they came to know the Lord, and then how that relationship has motivated them for the research, for the things that you're writing about. And so how did you get to know Jesus? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a third generation firefighter. I'll get onto that in just a second. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher. His dad was a preacher up in the hills of Tennessee and North Carolina. He walked on foot evangelizing. I got saved at the age of 8. I always wanted to be a firefighter. So I went into the fire service and retired out as a lieutenant from the City of Orlando Fire Department in 2006. When I retired, I just felt like the Lord was calling me to do something different. You know what I mean? I was burnt out with the fire service. I was down in the ghettos for many years. We turned 12,000 calls a year out of that one station I was at. A lot of trauma, cutting, shooting, stabbings. So I was just burnt out, man. And I knew God was calling me to something else. I just didn't really know what. I knew I wasn't supposed to be a pastor. I don't have the mentality to be a pastor. I don't have the patience to be a pastor. So, lo and behold, the Lord calls me to the prophetic, right? So I get out, and about a month after I get out, I had this visitation from the Lord, and the Lord had told me there were some things I was going to write, basically, in this vision that I'd had, this visitation, and an angel had been assigned to me, and so it would affect my walk and the walks of others. And then about 4 months after that, I started getting sick about 2 years before I left the fire department. I just, like, a little bit of depression and stuff like that. Didn't really know what. And then when I left, about 4 months after that visitation, I just went downhill, man. I got really bad sick. I was bedridden for 4 and 5 days at a time. I couldn't eat for 4 and 5 days at a time. I went to doctor after doctor. I had anxiety, depression. I mean, crushing anxiety, man. I couldn't sleep. I was nauseous all the time. Doctors couldn't find out what was going on with me. This went on for like 4 or 5 years. I found the first doctor, found a lot that was wrong with me. I had a very low thyroid, severe adrenal burnout from the fire service from running day and night. And then I had the hormones of a 70-year-old at 39. And so, and then on top of that, I had Lyme's as well. So, and all the co-infections went with it. So, I mean, I had all kinds of stuff going on at the time. And then he got me up to about 75, 80%. And then about 3 years of doctoring me, and he found another lucrative offer. He went to another hospital or something like that. And so I found the next doctor, and he kind of just maintained where I was at. You know, I didn't get above that 75 or 80% threshold. He just kind of maintained me. And then at that time, I had in 2011, I was sitting in front of the TV. Well, let me backtrack. That was probably like, maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago that was, when I started seeing the second doctor. But back in April 28, 2011, I had been going through some John Paul Jackson's satellite ministries for prophetic training and stuff like that since I retired. And, you know, when I was feeling halfway decent, had the energy to do it. And so the Lord was bringing me down this prophetic path. And so I was sitting in front of the TV, April 28, 2011, and I saw Donald Trump on TV. He was toying with the idea of running. He never announced he was going to run, but he was toying with the idea, and he was on Fox or somebody. And I, all of a sudden, I'm sitting there watching him, and I heard the Lord say, "You're hearing the voice of a president." So I came in here where I'm at right now. I put pen to paper, just like the Apostle Paul, and started writing out what was called the Commander-in-Chief Prophecy. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know what to do with it at the time. I just sat on it. And but when I had gone to that second doctor, his wife had a lot of contacts within the evangelical community. So I gave it to them because Donald Trump at that point was talking about running again. This is just fast forwarding all the way into 2015 at this point. Mm-hmm. And so they took it and kind of ran with it. And I started getting some radio interviews, and everything just kind of took off from there. Turned into a national prayer movement. And then, you know, God did a lot of work on America. You know, everybody says, you know, America's under judgment, this, that, and the other. It's like, no, it's the systems that are under judgment. It's the leadership that's under judgment. Because, you know, how can you hold an entire population accountable for stuff they never knew was going on, brother? Mm-hmm. Yes, did we know that the, because everybody says, well, the blood of the babies is on America's hands. No, it's not. It's on the church's hands. It's on the system, the church system's hands. The church is the moral and spiritual compass of any nation, period. And because they've bought into the 501c3, they were incorporated. Then they bought into the 501c3. So, I mean, they signed a contract with Satan himself, Baal, basically, at the federal level through that 501c3. And they were told what they could say, what they could not say. So for that 30 pieces of silver, they were told to keep their mouth shut. Prayer was, you know, 1954 is when they signed it. Mm-hmm. 10 years later, it comes in. Prayer was taken out of schools. Where was the church? Silent. Couldn't say anything. Yeah. 10 years after that, see, the enemy is very patient. The devil's very patient. So the big one, 10 years after that, 20 years after they got enough institutions under this program to where they could control it at that point. And so the big one, Roe versus Wade. Where was the church? Silent. Couldn't say a word, brother. So right. Where's the blood at? The blood's on the church's hands. So anyhow, that's my testimony kind of in short, you know, where it kind of took off from there. And this is where we are today.
Yeah, man. And things have really exploded. I mean, ever since, you know, your commander chief prophecy was incredible, not only because it did it turn out to be right, but because it really just laid the groundwork for upcoming prophecies, which I want to get into here in a little bit. But I want to start today upon hearing that, talking a little bit about Q. You know, Trump, he's been doing a lot of things that a lot of people hate. So maybe we should start there. Trump's been doing a lot of things that a lot of people hate. What is he doing, and why are people hating it for him? If you had to pinpoint a couple of things that Trump was really efficient at that he's been accomplishing as his presidency has gone on, and then what types of things are what are the mainstream media and the liberals and progressives really picking at, in your opinion?
Well, the reason that they, meaning the enemy, so to speak, the demonic side of things, because you got to remember, we've all had a level of brainwashing, if you will, where we've been brainwashed into thinking certain things were true when in fact they weren't. We've all had this level of deception at some point, you know, because we've been watching the mainstream media, we've been listening to the mainstream media, and now we find out that the media is actually the enemy of the people. There's a reason why Trump is labeled on that. So now what's happening with the Q movement, and I can kind of jumble all this in together here, is that we're being red-pilled. We're being shown the truth of what has actually been going on. You know, we've been indoctrinated into thinking certain things were this way when, in fact, they were not. You know, the whole goal of this whole thing, brother, is to steal the free will of man. So that, and what you're seeing right now with the truth coming out is the free will of man is going to come back to him, where he can finally choose this day whom he's going to serve. See, we haven't been able to do that. A lot of the sinners have not been able to do that because they've been held captive in this oppression through the indoctrination, through the brainwashing, the media, through the movies, the music. Even our worship music, okay, is tainted. I hate to tell you that, but it is. Yeah. I wrote a prophecy called Satan's Frequency, and this every time I turn around, another level of this prophecy is going deeper and deeper. And you know, as the writer of the prophecy, I didn't realize how deep this thing went. And it's like every time I turn around, the Lord's going deeper with the Satan's Frequency thing. And when you look at the Rockefellers funded a study with the Navy back in the right after World War II to the international frequency was 444 hertz. And they detuned it by 4 hertz is what they found, that it would create fear, panic, paranoia. It would change your DNA and would damage your body organs. So this is why every time you listen to the news media, you get that fear. You get angry. You get, you know, what is this? You know, this agitation thing. It's because it's designed to do that. It's the frequencies by which they're broadcasting this and is designed to do that. And this, Hitler did the same thing. He would broadcast these frequencies over the people, and it would set the stage for him to come out in the natural and in the spirit, believe it or not. And he would, once they would turn the frequencies off, and when he would speak, the people would absorb whatever it was that he was speaking. And it would be like this euphoric type feeling. This is going on in our worship services too, and I'll get into that in a minute. And so, but this is what's happening with the people. We've been indoctrinated. We've had this form of brainwashing going on. And now with the Q movement, the patriotic movement, which is it the patriotic movement? Because this thing's going global. This whole Q thing's going global.
Right.
Is it the patriotic movement, or is it the spirit of Elijah that's arising on the earth? Hmm. That's what I like to pose to people. I personally think it's the spirit of Elijah that's arising on the earth. So so we've had this whole thing, and so this Satan's frequency, it moves over into the church. Because, look, I had prophesied that there was going to be a lot of people going down. There would be political exposures. There would be religious exposures. All these religious leaders would be exposed for what they've been into, that it would parallel the political leaders. I said there would be military tribunals breaking out. When I said that, oh, my gosh, people thought I was nuts. It's like, who is this guy, man? He's crazy. And as I said Obama was going to go to prison. And in 2015, I prophesied two prophecies 1 month apart. One was called Time Is Up for Those Who Are Corrupt, that the Clintons were going to go down, and Bill Clinton would be held accountable, so would Hillary. And that the next prophecy after that, a month later, I prophesied that President Obama would be ripped and stripped of the presidency. Now, how do you rip a president of the title called president? The only way I know of is to be charged with treason, and you go to prison. You're ripped and stripped of the title of presidency. Now, wow. Q has spoken that he would claim Kenyan citizenship to get out of being prosecuted and executed and for treason. Because this guy's committed so many treasonous acts. This guy's the biggest fraud in American history. He wasn't even born here. And so I personally hope he does claim Kenyan citizenship, because the second he does, he's ripped and stripped of the presidency right there. There
wow.
it is.
Yeah.
Everything he's ever done, all those executive orders, all the judges, including the Supreme Court, are null and void at that point.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's the stuff that people don't think about. So yeah. If he claims Kenyan citizenship, he's admitting he was a fraud, and everything he ever did is done. Over. Period. So, you know, will he be executed? I don't know. I can just tell you what I personally think, but I'm not even going to go there. I think at some point, you know, you're going to see, well, here's the other thing. Q has said this. You're going to see suicides. You're going to see executions. You're going to see people going to prison for the rest of their life at Gitmo. I kind of got off on a rabbit trail here, but that's all right. Justice is not coming. Justice is here. And if you don't have a stomach for justice, you better get one quick, because justice can get ugly sometimes. And it's with the executions. It can get ugly sometimes. Like John McCain was executed. We know that. He had a military tribunal. He was executed.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have cancer. That was his exit strategy, to try to save his reputation, whatever reputation he had, which wasn't much.
Yeah.
But there was a sign given, a prophetic sign given. I'm just going to leave the people with this. There was a prophetic sign given. The racehorse called Barack Obama was euthanized.
Hmm.
I'm just going to leave that prophetic sign right there. Now, we may never know that he's been executed or some of these people have been executed. We just may have their exit strategy. Maybe they come down with this funky disease and then we no longer see them anymore. Yeah. They die of some disease. This is where you have to be careful with some of this stuff, because some of the stuff they find out, they execute some of these people, could start civil unrest and, you know, and this, that, and the other. So, I mean, but the Satan's frequency thing, we've all had this form of indoctrination of things. Even in the church, their worship music is in 440 hertz. And it's like, I tell people, guys, what are you ushering in? You think you're worshiping God when in fact you're not. You're ushering in the dark side at 440 hertz. That's what it's designed to do. And now we're finding out, I got a confirmation of this, and this is from a guy who we really didn't even know. He was bringing some stuff forward, and he said that they're introducing binaural beats into the worship music. And he called it, literally, I don't know if this guy's been listening to me or what, but I mean, he called it Satan's frequency. And it's like the New Age movement. You have binaural beats to put your brain in an alpha, beta, or a theta, theta state.
Yep.
So that it will induce visions.
Mm-hmm.
So all these visions that people are seeing and having in a worship service,
wow,
it's like, now you got to start questioning this stuff, because it's like, okay, guys, is this why some of the stuff's not coming to pass? Is this why everybody's having a vision here and none of it's matching up? It's doing this, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying everybody, but what I'm saying is that if that is the case, then this is what Satan's frequency is doing. This is what it's designed to do, because they're trying to set the platform for the pastor to come out, that when he speaks, you begin to receive what's going on. It's a form of mind control. And the other thing that the God was showing me is that the mind control is not just in the media. It's going on from the pulpit. It's going on from our seminaries. It is a known fact that they've infiltrated our seminaries, that we have seminaries that are mind control facilities, mm-hmm. and are taught to do this. They use scripture as mind control. We're learning the comms now. When you go to Twitter or whatever that case is, we're learning how the cabal uses their code through Q, and when they tweet it out, we also know that the president is also tweeting out code.
Yeah.
And so this is how we got to learn the comms here, man. And so yeah. You know, when they do this, and when they've learned this from basically from seminary, the pastors have, and so they come out here. And they're setting the platform with the worship. They come out, they speak, give, and this will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together. You know, it'll be overflowing. You know, this is the whole prosperity message. And people are just shelling out the money. This is why. Mm. It's a form of mind control. And so, when the Lord started taking me down this path of the mind control that was going on, I had gone on Twitter, and I'd never had this issue before with the trolls. This was like about a year and a half ago. And I'm not going to say who. A certain individual trolled me, and it was an evangelical leader, and they trolled me, and all I did was share the when Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton were going on their tour. They got canceled, by the way.
Yeah.
About a year ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I shared it. I said, this is literally their goodbye tour. That's what I said. That's all I said. And this person came on and said, in capital letters, said, wishful thinking. This is not a word from God. And at that second, brother, I had every troll known to man hit me. It was so bad, I gave my password to my sister to help me block some of these guys for 2 days straight. Finally, I contacted a friend of mine, Liz Croken, an investigative journalist who exposed Pizzagate and Pettigate.
Yep.
I said, Liz, how do you handle this, man? I said, you know, because this is going on. She said, let me throw it out to some of the white hats. The nons, and let me see if I can get them to help you. She throws it out there. Brother, immediately, it stopped.
Wow.
Immediate. And the Lord showed me, he says, Mark, I need you to stop looking at these leaders individually, these evangelical leaders. I need you to look at what they're doing corporately, what they represent corporately. Mm. And that's when he started taking me, it's the code words, wishful thinking. It was in capital letters. Those are psychic words. That code activated the trolls. It was immediate. It was immediate. And it activated the trolls. And that's when the Lord started taking me down this path that some of these evangelical leaders are actually handlers.
Yeah.
They're handlers.
Yeah. Wow.
They're trained to shoot code out, and they're handlers. And so the bigger the leader sometimes, the bigger the handler.
Wow.
Look who's underneath them. There's a hierarchy that's being established. You know what I mean? So yeah. Anyhow, I didn't mean to get off on that, on some of that. So
no, this is all great information, and it leads exactly into kind of where we're at in our world today. And as shocking as it may be, it's happening. And so my question, just hearing that, is what do you say to the people who, like, you're crazy, man. There's no way that these evangelical leaders are posting these secret messages right. through their Twitter and all. I mean, right. as a Christian, how do we view this? I mean, because upon hearing this for the first time, people are going to be like, "You're nuts! What are you doing?" Like, they can't be serious. But so, how do you encourage us as Christians to, like, hey, look deeper, or what would you right. say to that?
You know, Kim Clement gave a pretty good teaching on the difference between look and see. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to go into that teaching right now. But, you know, one is casual observation, the other one is acute observation, looking deeper. And I encourage people to do that. Just because someone holds a platform and they have a huge name does not mean they're not corrupt. I'm sorry. And we're learning that with Q. You cannot be that high up and not be doing something for the dark side. I don't care if you're a rock star, country star, movie star, yes, even a big-time evangelical pastor of a megachurch. You're doing something for the dark side in order to get there, unfortunately, guys. There's just no way around it. This is what Q has been exposing. And notice he also said in there, it's those you trust the most. Wow. Now, who do people trust the most? Their pastor.
The pastor, yeah.
So this is where people have to be careful. And I'm not saying all of them. I would never do that, because we have some righteous people in the pulpit out there. But we also have infiltration in the pulpit. And this is what people have to understand, that it was designed by the CIA, which we're learning now has been running everything, pretty much, different countries like North Korea, and all these things. They have infiltrated the seminaries. They have infiltrated, which has gone down to the pulpits, which has now gone into the congregation. So this is why the home congregations was so important right now, which I'm a huge part of right now with some people I'm affiliated with. The home congregations is going to break out, because you're seeing this mass exodus from the church system. People are sick and tired of what's going on in the church. You know, you've got controversy after controversy that's happening right now, and you can just read the headlines. This pastor's gone down for pedophilia. This guy's gone down for human trafficking. Look at the guy out in California that had 1 million followers that was doing human trafficking, sex trafficking, whatever it was. Yep. I mean, this apostle out there. So it's not going to stop. This is only the beginning. This doesn't even scratch the surface, because the fact of the matter is, brother, we have churches, ministries, and seminaries that are out there, human trafficking, pedophilia, that are satanic ritually abused people in there. You've yep. got satanic rituals going on. And so the problem is this, is that they don't want to hear they're in error. This is where the prophetic has taken a wrong term over the years, is that everybody wants to go in and be the good guy. They want to go in and say, oh, man, I see money, I see trucks, I see houses. You know what I mean? That's what everybody yeah. wants to hear. But the second you issue a correction that right. God gives you to give them, oh, you're a false prophet, you're false this, that. They don't want to hear it.
Dude, but that's how it's been since the yep. Old Testament. I mean, yep. exactly what Jeremiah, yep. Isaiah, all of them experienced, right?
Yep, yep. And so they don't want correction. They don't want reproof. They don't want any of it, man. They don't want to hear the fact that their music's corrupt. They don't want to hear that what's coming from the pulpit is corrupt. Look, there's a reason why the Freemasons are 33 degrees. Everything's twisted a little, about 33 degrees, man. You know, yep. you could have 80% of a message that may be dead on accurate, but it's that other 20% that's wow. going to get you in trouble.
Yeah. Amen.
It's that 33%, that last 33%. I'm not good with math, whatever that equals, but I mean, you know what I mean? That yeah. 66% or whatever it is. So, I mean, it's so. I tell people, right now we have to be living in times where we're really praying for wisdom and discernment as believers. And I'll give you another a prime example of this. You look at the Pope right now, the most wicked Pope probably we've ever had.
Yeah.
Or at least in my lifetime.
A cultist. Sure.
Yeah. And so when you even the Catholics are up in arms with this guy. All right. Now, look at any big evangelical leader that's ever met with the Pope. Why do you meet with the Pope? There's only two reasons you meet with the Pope. One, to submit to his authority, or two, to cast demons out of that guy. And I haven't seen anybody doing that yet. So there's a reason. Look, go back and look at those who've met with the Pope. It's not good, brother. They're yeah. jockeying for a position in the new world or one world religion.
Wow.
They're trying to get that triangle established. They're trying to get the hierarchy established, the Pope being the head. And then you've got the Muslims over on one side, which they've already signed a contract with now. With that, I don't know who that imam was, but they signed a contract.
I saw that.
Okay, that's the Muslim side. Now, who's going to be the other part of the triangle for the evangelicals?
Right.
Take a look at who's met with him.
Yeah.
No, give you an idea.
This is so good. And before we move on, guys, because this leads perfect into the prophecy that I want to start discussing, specifically talking about the Pope and the Vatican and their downfall and the exposure that the Lord is going to bring out of that. But this is where we're going to cut the live or the feed for the free viewing. So if you're a member, you're going to be able to see the rest of this. Make sure that you guys check out the affiliate link for the Apollineering that can be found on the Daily Renegades website. Or you can get in touch with me, Seth. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and so just I can give you that information. But this is it for free viewing. So make sure that you guys consider becoming a member, $9.95 a month or $95 a year. It's super cheap. All right. Okay, Mark, we're discussing. Thank you, Daily Renegade members, for tuning in to this episode of Apollineering with Mark Taylor. We've been discussing a lot of stuff, man, a lot of bombshells have come out today. The Holy Spirit's just leading this conversation. But you started talking a little bit about the Pope and the stuff that he's doing. And in your last prophecy, I have it printed out here, and I wrote some notes on here, so I'm going to ask you a few questions about it. You say this Pope, the Vatican, and all its leadership will become crumbling down. And the Lord says, I will pull back the veil to show how deep and dark the deception has been. Can you elaborate on that? Or
God gave a prophetic sign of what you just said right there. I was actually going to stop your eyes. I was going to stop right there. Because how deep and how dark? What prophetic sign did God give at the Vatican here about a month ago when they started digging underneath the statue that was pointing down? And found a mass grave.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Now, here's the thing that I have a question with that. Who in their right mind gave them permission to dig, knowing that they were going to be implicated? Which tells me, are we in control of the Vatican? I don't know. Because who in their right mind, and they found dozens of bones down there. I mean, as far as dozens of people in this mass grave. They were looking for one person. And they found dozens.
Who are they trying to find? Do you remember?
I think was a little girl, something like that. I think or something. Yeah,
I saw the story, but I only read about half of the article.
I don't remember who it was, honestly. But they were trying. I think it was a little girl. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But again, they were looking for one person, and they found dozens. Man, now again, why would the Vatican give them permission to do it? No, it's going to implicate them. This is what makes me think we may be in control of the Vatican right now at this point. He doesn't have a choice but to comply because he's fixing to go down. And so he will probably try to flee to Argentina, which I think Q has said, somebody can correct me on that too, to avoid prosecution. Which, who else is in Argentina? All the Nazis. That's where the Nazis went years ago. You know what I mean? There's no coincidences here, guys.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, that's a prophetic sign that was given, I believe, that because he said, I'm going to split the Vatican wide open. And I'm going to show everyone just how corrupt and how deep this darkness goes in that place that's been there for centuries.
And you're talking about the Holy Spirit was kind of talking more about the institution as a whole, not a particular person, right?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So kind of just all of the bad deeds that
all of
that
the Vatican. The bishops, the priests. I mean, whatever their hierarchy is. I don't know how their hierarchy works.
And do you think the exposing of the pedophilia that's gone on by the Catholic priests is you see this as part of that exposure?
Yeah. Satanic ritual abuse. The satanic rituals they've had there. What you got the ninth? Was it the ninth circle? What's called out there in the Vatican, where they do the satanic rituals? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, all these things are going to be exposed out there. They've already been exposed for having tons of stuff.
Right.
Now, is it coincidence that Italy just gets their version of Trump in and Italy's becoming one of the biggest, allies of the United States? Is this guy going to go after the Vatican? Is he going to help expose part of this?
And I saw Trump's tweet about the Italian prime minister yesterday just praising the crap out of it. Like he was just praising him because he's nationalistic and he stands up for his country, which is exactly what Trump's doing. Okay, so my next comment on or my question for you was, it says in here, many are saying that this is the last pope, but it's not for the reasons they think. What do you think that means?
Well, this is just my opinion. You know what I mean? I think this may be the last pope because of what's going to be exposed. Nobody's going to want anything to do with the Vatican or the Catholic Church after this. We've had three different fires now. We had one in Pennsylvania here. Was it yesterday or the day before? Huge church fire.
Yeah.
And the headlines read steeple, talking about the steeple burning. We had the one in, overseas where Obama was at when it was burning, the big one. I forget the
Notre
name.
Notre Dame.
Thank you. That's talking about the steeple again in that one. And then there was another Baptist church up north I tweeted out probably maybe about 8 months ago where they were talking about the steeple burning. And the only thing that was left was a picture of Jesus. This is the system that's burning right now, man. The Lord is bringing this system down. The steeple, what most people don't understand, the steeple is a phallic symbol to Baal. Mm-hmm. So when you walk under that covering of that steeple, what are you walking under? See, these are all things people don't understand.
Yeah.
But you're walking under that covering. If you've got a pastor that's a Freemason, you're already being cursed right there from the pulpit. And you're walking under the covering of Baal because of the steeple, because of what it represents. Then you throw on top with the 440 music, where the worshiping. I mean, bro, this is a nightmare of a scenario.
Right.
Honestly, for the system. And I think God has had it. He's done with the system. He's done with people idolizing people. You know, you've got these big-time evangelicals. They've lifted up on a platform. They idolize these people. You know, they're like rock stars. This is done and over with, man. God's going to start cleaning house. The game plan is over, but I mean, as far as the Vatican goes, I just know that nobody's going to want anything to do with the Catholics, or not the Catholics, but the Catholic Church system, per se, because even the Catholics are going to walk away when they find out just how bad this really is. And what I tell people is stop picking on the Catholics, because, yes, it's bad, don't get me wrong, but you're fixing to find out that the Baptists, the Methodists, the Assemblies of God, all these different denominations are just as bad as they are, but they've just been better at hiding it. I just read an article where they just had Jehovah's Witness. They had went back 10, 20 years of pedophiles or something like that they had a list up that they never took to the cops. So this is the kind of thing that God's talking about right here.
You
got the Southern Baptist Convention. These guys are an absolute, utter mess over there, and they know they got problems. And so, again, these are all things that are coming out.
Yeah, that's interesting. Question just came to my mind. So if going to end times prophecy here, we're talking a little bit more about how a lot of people view the Vatican, the Catholic Church, as Babylon, right?
Right.
What is your view of that? Who is Babylon in Revelation if it's not the Catholic Church?
Honestly, I believe it's the system. I think it's part of the systems. And I mean, I'm not saying it can't be. God can have many different layers of revelation. You can take one scripture and have seven different layers of revelation because God's unlimited, man. Yeah. I mean, but it's our mind, our finite minds, that don't allow us to go there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's the systems that's under judgment right now. And it's the financial systems, the judicial systems, the church, the religious systems. I think God's done with religion, period, man. Yeah. I really do. I have a friend that I do shows on a weekly basis with. He says, we came in home groups, we're going out in home groups. And I believe that, because that's what the model originally was. It was never made to be a corporation. This is why Jesus drove everyone out of the temple with a whip, the money changers, because they were trying to do business.
Yeah.
You know, and look, the definition of incorporating, people don't understand what that means. The definition of incorporation means fictitious. You're fictitious. This is what you're saying in the spirit realm as a church when you incorporate. So, and then you've got the state as one level of governing over. Jesus Christ is no longer the head of your ministry, by the way, when you incorporate. The state is. You answer to the state. And that's one level. And then when you sign a 501c3, you now have the federal government over you. Baal is now the head. So you've got this double layer of... It's like they have a slavery mentality. They don't want to govern because they want to be governed over. All they want is this. They want wealth and influence.
Right.
So you're speaking out of your mouth that, hey, we're fictitious, number one. I'm a 501c3, and a lot of people say, well, we are a brick and mortar. That's because they don't want to lose their 501c3 status. Well, what are you saying when you say that? You're saying you're a physical structure. You're not a spiritual structure. And you wonder why we can't make headway in the spirit with the pro-life ministries who are 501c3. You know, they say, oh, you don't understand, Mark. You know, we were on the courthouse steps screaming at the top of our lungs when Roe versus Wade was being passed. No, you don't understand. Because as a 501c3, you're not being heard in the spirit. Jesus says you can't cast out Satan with Satan. So if you're in covenant with Baal, who is the strong man over America, how can you cast him out? You can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, which I'll go back to just to show you just how critical this 501c3 thing is that when back in the Reagan administration, they were going to take on Roe versus Wade. They approached not one, not two, three ministries, three pro-life ministries to help them. All three declined. And you know what their reasons were?
We don't want to lose our status.
They don't want to lose their 501c3, and we don't want it to hurt our funding.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that shows you the mentality of when they sign that. It's a demonic contract. And so it's like a demonic portal that's over these ministries. Mm. They don't understand it. And so, and interestingly enough, the Catholic Church is not a 501c3, believe it or not. So, but there's other countries that have the same system. They're just called something different. Yeah. But it's all designed. You ever heard that fighting term that if you're a grappler or, you know, whatever, you control the head, you control the body.
Right. Yep.
That's what it was designed to do, because Jesus Christ is no longer the head. You cut the head off the body.
Wow.
When Jesus said, hey, what was it? He has no place to rest his head. Foxes have dens and I have no place to rest my head. That's what he's referring to. You've cut his head off. He has no place to rest. So it's Baal that's your head. It's the state that's the head. You can scream Jesus Christ is the head of my ministry all you want to from the pulpit. It doesn't matter if you're incorporated or you're 501c3. It makes no difference. And this is why we have no power. This is why we have no authority. This is why we don't have any signs and wonders. And the stuff that is in some of these places, you have to be very careful, because it's not actually the Holy Spirit. It's the Kundalini, which is the same thing that Janus and Jambros used to duplicate the miracles in front of Pharaoh with Moses. So this is where wisdom and discernment comes in. Yep. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's good. It's good stuff. And I was just going to comment here that, I mean, we're seeing it, the lack of spiritual understanding in Christianity today. I mean, there's no respect for the supernatural. It's just a hogwash, you know, circus show at most churches. I mean, there's very, very few churches that practice the spiritual gifts as they're supposed to be practiced. And a lot of people don't even, I think, why we succumb to this authoritarian rule of from a supernatural standpoint is because we don't understand it and we don't know how to battle in the supernatural. And then that's why I love the work that you're doing. I love the work that Stephen and Josh are doing through the Second Coming of the New Age, through all of these people that are fighting against this, teaching people how to battle in the supernatural, teaching people how to do research and to really figure out what's going on behind the scenes. And so kind of playing off of that, I have a few more questions. But before we get into that, you've mentioned Q a few times today in this interview. What is Q for those who don't know, and why should we believe them?
Okay. So Q, we believe, is like military intelligence. It's a group of people. We don't believe it's just one person. We believe it's a group of people. Q plus, we believe to be President Trump. Mm-hmm. They give out information to help wake people up, to give them the truth. Now, some of this stuff is coded, so we have anons that decode it for us. Very smart individuals, and way high intelligence level on these guys. And so they're dropping the truth on the general public, so to wake people up, the Great Awakening. And see, this is where I believe, and I don't want to get off on this trail too much, this is where I believe that the church system has pushed God's hand away. They've denied the destiny that God had for them, and now it's being handed over to the remnant. It's being handed over to the army of God, as I call them, the remnant. It's because Q is doing, and President Trump, by the way, is doing what the church was supposed to do, and they refused to do it. And so it's being handed over to the remnant. The remnant is who's waking people up. They're sharing the Q information. Now, how do I know the Q is legit? And Q didn't come on the scene till October 2017. Now, I didn't start listening to Q because I kept hearing about it. I didn't start till about February, March of 2018. And I'm reading a lot of these drops, and I'm going, man, this guy is like, or at the time we thought it was a one person, when in reality we know it's a team now, pretty much, is that this is strange. This is sounding like the stuff that I've been saying almost. And so if you lay out my prophetic words, which they can go to my website, swordrescue.com, S-O-R-D-rescue.com. They can print them off for free. I tell people, lay them out. It's like a blueprint. You know, where we're coming from and where we're going. Mm-hmm. It's because all the Q stuff, everything Q's been saying, lines up with the prophetic words that were written before Q ever come on the scene. That's how I personally know that Q is legit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, one's confirming the other. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Yeah. And so what, how does Q relay information? I mean, I just want people to understand, because you're like, well, where can I go to find this stuff? Like, how do I follow Q? Right. I heard all this stuff on CNN that Q is just a conspiracy theory and all this stuff. Like, so how do we follow the release of their information? And how do we implement it and understand it, especially if we don't know how to follow any of these anons that are posting this cryptid stuff that doesn't make any sense.
Right. And you know, I'm sitting here looking at my phone now. I want to make sure I got this right. It's qmap.pub that they can go to. And you can look at the QAnon drops here. And the last time he posted was August 1st. Now, there's been some issues because, you know, we talked about this pre-interview where Q's getting attacked a lot because they say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. This, that, and I see here again. This is where we have to be careful, because the news media is the enemy of the people. And they say, well, how come, you know, why are they attacking Q? Because they know Q is legit. And why won't they prove it? Because nobody, they know Q's been on the scene for a long time. They know that, that all, you know, what's about to break loose on these guys, including the news media. The pain's coming. And why has no one ever asked the president who's Q from the media?
Yeah.
Why have they never asked the press secretary who's Q? All they got to do, look, if they want to dispel this, really quick, ask the president in a news conference, Mr. President, who's Q? Why won't they do it? They've had since October 2017 to do it, and they won't do it because they're scared to death, because they know it's legit. So yeah. Now what they're trying to do is spin the conspiracy theory about Q and say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory, you know, and again, you say something enough times, people begin to believe it. You got people who are not awake right now, still listening to the mainstream media, and I tell people, stop listening to the mainstream media. If you want the truth, go to the president's Twitter feed, go to his Facebook page, get the truth straight from the source. And so so they're trying to, again, indoctrinate the people into thinking that this is a conspiracy theory when it's not. Let's put it to rest. Ask them.
Yeah.
Ask them. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. I agree, and it's interesting because you said instead of going to the mainstream media, go to Trump's Twitter feed, and right. You'll see what's really happening. What about those people who, can't stand Trump because of what he says? You know, a lot of people think he doesn't have control over his mouth.
Oh, you mean the holier than thou people, right?
Right. Yeah.
The religious spirits, the legalistic spirits, which equals a critical spirit.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Right. Exactly.
I thought that's what you're talking about. Yeah. This is the religious people, the legalistics, and it's like, you know, did you ever say a bad word in your life? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, I'm gonna come down on some people here. Okay. You had some of the biggest religious leaders. When it came out about him saying grabbing a female's genitalia, what was that, like 15, 20, 16 years ago that he did that?
Right.
And you had some of the biggest people come out, including Franklin Graham, came out and was hammering the president over this. They were disappointed about this, disappointed about that. They didn't support that kind of language. And it's like, time out. This guy was not saved back then. This guy, about a year before he came into office or a year or something like that he got saved? So he's a new Christian. So why would an evangelical leader be condemning someone that someone did 20 years ago or 15, 20 years ago when he wasn't saved?
Right. And I guess that would go
this is why nobody wants to go to church.
Yeah.
Why are you going to condemn someone who did something 20 years ago? Isn't that the redemptive message of Christ? That you're washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, that all your sins are forgiven? Washed clean, period. So why are you even bringing this up? You should be defending the president with exactly what I'm saying. So why are they doing it? You had multiple evangelical leaders coming out doing that.
Right. Yeah, and I guess that would go into, you know, the whole topic of, well, is he really saved, or is he just putting on this Christian fundamentalist show to try to draw in the Christian crowd to vote for him, you know?
Nah. And he is saved. He's got a spiritual advisory board. The spiritual advisory board he's got some good people on the spiritual advisory board. He's got some not so good people on the spiritual advisory board. I'm just being honest. He's got some vipers around him. Okay. And so, you know, I've been warning about the spiritual advisory board. You know, not all of them, but he's got some vipers around him. So we need to be praying for him. He knows who they are. Trust me, he knows who they are. This man has discernment on a level that most Christians do not, only wish they had. So he knows who they are. And at some point, I believe he will deal with it. But I've been saying that look for when this fight gets really hot, if we have some civil unrest, when the mass arrests go down, that look for these people to come out, these leaders, and say, oh, because it's already started. Look for them to come out, his spiritual advisory board, and say, you know, well, we just all need to get along, kumbaya, this, that, and the other. That's a red flag. There's a viper right there because you don't have God's interest at heart. What you're wanting to do is to pacify the injustice that's been going on versus bringing justice to the earth, which is there's nothing that's going to stop God's justice from happening right now. Trump was put in there to bring justice, period. A lot of this stuff, the justice. And so when he's woke to these evangelical leaders, when they step in and try to change that, I've been warning about that. You watch, it's coming. And so they don't have God's heart or interest at heart right now. They just don't because they're so blinded by wealth and influence. That's all they want. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, gosh, I've been talking a lot of this with a buddy of mine, and we've been talking about Trump and his influence and what a lot of people say about him being this, you know, the second Cyrus and all of this kind of stuff. And a question that came up that me and my friend were talking about was, well, and I don't know how you feel about supporting the state of Israel, but a big question that we asked was, what, you know, Trump has been pushing for this, sorry, there's a bug flying in here, but he's been pushing forward for the rebuilding of the temple through the Temple Institute. And if you know anything about Bible prophecy, then, and I'm not saying you, but the viewers, if you know anything about Bible prophecy, this third temple is going to be the place where the Antichrist sets up his abomination of desolation, as Daniel calls it, as Jesus refers to in Matthew. So why would he be pushing so much for this the religious sanctuary to be built if we know what it ultimately leads to? And I guess even a deeper question is, should we be supporting the state of Israel? I mean, there's a lot of bad things that the Mossad, or supposedly the Mossad, has done, the occupation, as they so call it, on Palestinians and all. So what are your thoughts about that particular?
Well, as far as the occupation goes, that part I don't know about. I know that land belongs to Israel, period. Because if you look at the original biblical borders, it goes all the way to the Euphrates River. It would encompass some other countries. So, I mean, that's their property, as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, as far as do I support the state, well, you have to look at this in a different way. I support the Israeli people. I don't support the cabal running it, because that's what you're dealing with. Yeah. It's no different than I support America. I don't support the cabal running it. You know what I mean? Well, the cabal's not running it right now. We're cleaning that stuff up, which is why they hate Trump. Because he's on to them. He knows who they are. He was destined to clean this mess up, and including globally. It's like North Korea. North Korea was being run by the cabal, the CIA, and it's been cleaned up. And so the same thing with Israel. That's what we have to realize, that there is a very real enemy in Israel called the cabal that is running Israel. That I don't support, no. And they are trying things to upset certain things globally. And they have been successful financially and this, that, and the other, militarily. So that's what's being exposed. So and Q has said that Israel will be last. You know, he said, I think North Korea, then Iran. We're seeing Iran right now taking place. We're dealing with Iran right now. And so I think Israel will be last, like Q says. And so that's the part that I think once this stuff's cleaned up, then, and the truth comes out of what we've been told, then we're going to understand a whole lot more, especially about Israel. I just don't think anybody truly understands where Israel's at right now and what's going on with Israel, except for, you know, Trump and these guys. There's always more to the story than what Trump does and when he says something. That's what I have to keep telling people. You got to learn his comms. You know, listen to Cereal Brain, too, you know, like we were talking about prior pre-interview. When you start learning the president's comms and how he's talking to people, then you understand what's a little more.
Yeah. Do you view Benjamin Netanyahu as like an Israeli Trump?
You know, I would like to think he is. I don't know. God has not shown me anything on him, so I really don't know. I would like to think that he's a good guy. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I really don't. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, that's good. A couple more questions and then we'll wrap up here. So the first question that I have, which will kind of lead into to the second one, is going back to your prophecy, your latest one called All Roads Lead to Rome. And your last line in here, it says the answer lies between Jerusalem and the Vatican City. And you're talking about there's specifically, it's in the paragraph where an archaeological find is referenced. Well, what do you think that means?
Well, can you read that in its entirety real quick? I think it'll make more sense for the people that we want to explain it.
Yeah, it says the Spirit of God says there is a dig, an archaeological find that is coming in an underground vault, which will be so cataclysmic that it will rock the Christian world. The answer lies between Jerusalem and the Vatican City.
Okay. So what do I think that is? I believe, this is just my personal humble opinion, I believe that this is scrolls, scripts, books, things that were purposely left out to throw confusion into mankind. I believe that this is whatever this find is, the Lord has shown me it will be a global deliverance. A global deliverance. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Whoever holds this find holds control. And that's what people don't understand. This is how big this is.
Yeah.
Now, the answer lies between Jerusalem and Vatican City. Some people have mapped it out geographically. It could be that. You know, God speaks on different levels here. So, I don't want to say that's not the case. Is that metaphoric? Could be metaphoric for something. Here's the thing that I did not know. And the guy who does the Serial Brain videos, I just happen to be friends with, Larry or LT. And I was talking to him one day, and he put it out on one of the videos, is that I think they've already found it, brother.
Wow.
And when he put the video out, I read this decode and my jaw dropped. I was just like, are you kidding me? They have it all the way back to the flood. And they said it would make the Vatican Library look like a cakewalk.
Oh, my gosh.
They have the scrolls, the scripts, the books, all the way back to the flood. They have the truth.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that would
they have
rock.
It all.
That would rock the entire world, man, because that would render other religions obsolete and everything. I mean, Helena Blavatsky, all her writings, done. The occult, done for
done.
Then. That'd be
that's
crazy.
That's the global deliverance.
Yeah. Wow. The purge.
This is the global deliverance right here, man. Yeah. So, I mean, now, when do they choose to turn this stuff loose? That I don't know. Here's the other thing. You know, Q has said you're only going to know what was the numbers, like 40% or 60% that they can release or something like that. Whatever it is, somebody can check me on that. Because we're not going to be able to handle it. And I think the same thing is true with that. Because when you start looking at the religious spirits, the legalistic spirits, you know what I mean? They believe the Bible and the Bible only. If it's not in the Bible, they don't want to hear it. Yeah. And it's like you're fixing to be shown something that has been purposely left out for a reason, to throw confusion into man, like we're seeing right now. And so I think at some point it's going to take a little bit at a time to release this stuff a little bit at a time, let it soak in, let people soak it in, and then, you know, a little more truth here, a little more truth here type thing. Because people, if you just dump all this stuff on people, they're just going to say, hey, forget it. There's no way that's possible. You know what I mean? I've been studying this stuff my whole life. There's just no way that's possible. So I think we're about to find out basically that a lot of stuff we've been taught has not been correct. Now, I'm not saying biblically. I'm saying some of it could be biblically. Some of it could be, theologically or doctrines or whatever we thought we've been taught, you know, through seminaries, you know, people's seminaries, that it was not the case. Yeah. And so we'll just have to wait and see what God's got. You know what I mean? But when I saw that, my jaw dropped. I was like, are you kidding me, man? They said, we have it all the way back to the flood.
And what video was this again?
Serial Brain 2.
Serial Brain 2. Okay. I'll have to go look for that. So that leads into my next question, which is going to be our final question. What is this all leading to? I mean, we were talking a little bit how North Korea has been kind of combed with a fine comb, and Q's been exposing a lot of stuff about what's going on in Iran and what's going, especially in America. But then we were talking about how Israel's going to be last. So What's the ultimate goal here? What's going to be the final play? How does this fit into biblical prophecy, in your opinion? I don't even know your stance on biblical prophecy, but what would be your say about that?
Well, I think the ultimate goal right now is to free the spiritually oppressed people of the earth so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can go forth throughout the earth. Because, look, everybody's stuck with this, and this is where my message is different from a lot of people. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm a message of hope. I try to bring people hope, because when you rob people of hope, you rob them of the will to fight. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, "Oh, we've only got 2 or 3 years left. We're just waiting for the Lord to come back." You know, well, you know, again, you know, that's one of the biggest killers to destiny, like Kim used to say, Kim Clement. And it's like, you just taking yourself out of the fight. Where in the Bible does it say anywhere to lay down your weapons of warfare? It doesn't. Jesus said to occupy till I come. So I think where all this is ultimately going, brother, is that, you know, because America's being used for this as the end time hub for the harvest. And so it's to free the spiritually oppressed people of the earth so that, again, their free will has been taken from them. That was the ultimate goal of the Freemasons, the Illuminati, the Cabal. That was the ultimate goal, was to be able to steal their free will, control them in this bubble, if you will, of information, and not know the truth. And that's all we've been able to see is we can't see past that bubble of what we've been taught, what we've been indoctrinated, to know the truth that's sitting outside of that bubble. Mm-hmm. So, but it's to free the spiritually oppressed people of the earth so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can go forth so that people can truly choose this day whom they're going to serve.
Wow, that's powerful. And I honestly couldn't agree more, because that's what Jesus commanded us to do, right? Go right. And make disciples. And in order for there to be a disciple, there has to be an easily spread gospel. And right. We saw that with Paul and the disciples, and that's what they were doing, man. They were going over the whole earth. Right. And I think the enemy, his whole tactic has been to disrupt that ability to do that.
Absolutely.
And to silence the Christians and the true Absolutely. Believers in Christ. And so, gosh, man, today was jam-packed, full of a lot of information, and gosh, I really appreciate you coming. Do you have any final comments before we sign off here?
You know, I just want to encourage people, man. You know, don't watch the mainstream media. Turn that garbage off, man. Stay off of Satan's frequency. You know, mm-hmm. if you don't have that prophecy, go back and read it. You know, stay away from the doom and gloomers right now, all right? You need – look, I'm not saying don't arm yourself with knowledge so that we know how to pray, because we need to know what's happening, what's coming, this, that, and the other. But you need to have a balance there somewhere between doom and gloom and good news, because Jesus said to preach the good news. He didn't say go out and preach an apocalyptic message. He said go out and preach the good news, period. Right. And this apocalyptic message is not working, man. If it was going to work, it would have worked 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not working. What's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Thank you. So, I mean, it's like change tactics, man. You got to change tactics.
Yeah.
And so I think this is the other thing, is that when people see the good that Trump's doing, we got the economy, we got all these things happening. The military's as strong as it's ever been. I mean, all these good things that are happening, because the Lord said in that America prophecy that all the seeds that America has sown is coming back sevenfold to America to get set up for this harvest, so to speak. So there's good things happening. Will there be bad things in the process? Of course. I mean, the Lord said you're going to have trials and tribulations. You know, there's no way around it. Look, I'm staring down the barrel of a hurricane as we speak right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still good things in the process that are happening, man. And the Lord's ultimately in control. And you just need to be cautious. Be careful who you follow.
Yeah.
I cannot reiterate that enough. Be careful who you follow, either whether it's political or whether it's in the religious realm. Be very careful who you follow right now.
Amen. I couldn't agree that. And I think both Mark and I would say, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's what this whole thing is about. I mean, we can get into all these so-called conspiracies and talking about Q and Trump in the future and all of this stuff. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are lost, and you are not going to be able to see the spiritual, because the enemy, the devil, has put a veil over your eyes, which Jesus can remove if you call out to him. So if you want to know the truth, if you want that light shed on and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, make sure that you do that, because you don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. I mean, you could die on a car crash, as horrible as that sounds, on the way home from work tonight. And so make sure that you call out to Jesus, and he'll come and he'll answer and he'll build a relationship with you. So Again, Mark, I thank you for coming on, man. I really appreciate your time and your wisdom and all the things that the Lord is doing through you. I just praying for your ministry, praying for your protection as this hurricane comes, and stay safe, brother. And for those of you who have been listening, you guys know the saying, don't be lazy, do the research. We'll catch you on the next episode.